And good to have Sister Kathleen back. We've missed her while she's been out. And good to see everybody. I don't want to miss anybody today, but we are thankful for the opportunity to be here. And I told Kim last night, I said, was last Sunday Christmas? And we was talking about it. I said, that seems like that was 2 months ago. I don't know if it's cause of routine being messed up a little bit and doing things we don't normally do and everything like that, but it is this last week that is Christmas and this week New Year's, so Happy New Year's to everybody and good to be in the Lord's house. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. I've just had one thought on my mind the past several days about preaching this morning, and I actually thought I might preach this last night. I preached in a New Year's Eve service over at Clifton Baptist Church in Warrensville, and we were out later than we are ever out now, seems like, and I got back about 11:30, quarter to 12, something like that, and that's pretty late for us. We're usually in the bed by then, well before then. And so we got in and saw the new year come in and had a good service over there and thanked the Lord for the opportunity to go and God keeping us safe as we traveled. Got up this morning and was going to bring the car, and I went out to start it and had a flat tire on my front left tire. And I told Kim, I said, boy, we could have really, because between there and our house, there's nothing. And it was late and no traffic on that road, and what is dangerous. So I said, thank you, Lord, that we made it home. And when I got to, and when we left over there, I told Kim, I said, I think that's acting funny, the driving. And I'd speed up, and I thought, well, maybe it's just because I'm going 30 miles an hour or 35, and I'd speed up and get a little better. And got up this morning, and I went out and actually started the car, and I thought, I ought to look under the front and make sure. And sure enough, had a flat tire. So I'm thankful we made it home safe and discovered it this morning. But Romans chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and you pray for us this morning. I've really had this on my mind, and there is more in these two verses than I could ever get through in one message. I just want to look at really one thing, and I don't know, the Lord might lead us back into this next Sunday. I don't know, but I could definitely preach for several weeks out of verses 1 and 2. But the Bible says over there, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you, God, for all the blessings that you've given to us, and Lord, the opportunity to be in thy house one more time this year, first time this year. God, we thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us. And God, I pray that you'd just help as we look into thy word today. Lord, I pray you'd give great liberty to preach thy word. Lord, I have a lot of different thoughts going through my head today, and Lord, I just pray that you'd make it easy and give liberty and speak to our hearts and help us as only you can, that we might receive something from the Word of God that'll help us, that'll encourage us, inspire us, correct us. Lord, whatever it is that we need in our lives, Lord, we pray that you'd open the Word of God to us today. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in this new year, God, as we start out. And Lord, there's much to do in the work of the Lord. And God, our mind just goes and has been going about things we'd like to do, but God, we just can't do anything, Lord, unless you help us, unless you just take over. And God, we just put everything into your hands. And God, that's what we come asking today. I pray you'd use us and help us in the year ahead. I pray you'd remind us today of what you've done for us in the past, and God, how we ought to give our whole lives unto you, present our bodies a living sacrifice. God, we're here today by the mercy of God, and I pray you'd speak to our hearts and help us, help me, as only you can. We have many objects this morning. People are sick, people are in trouble, people are lost that we know and hard towards the things of God. Lord, we need a touch of God from heaven and a revival that'll stir us and help us. And Lord, you're the only one that can really give us what we need. We just look unto thee. We ask for your help. Have your way just now. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Probably if you know anything about me, you know this is some of my favorite verses in the Bible. I know that since I've been here, I've preached out of Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I know I preached when Brother Jeff was here, I remember preaching. And when Brother Jeff and Sister Michelle, I remember preaching while they were here on finding the will of God. And that's been several years ago now. I don't even know how many, but I've preached out of this several times, and I mention it. There's just a lot in these two verses. There's only 59 words in these two verses, but there's a lot in these two verses, a lot of different thoughts that we could look at. There's some things here that the Lord's laid on my heart I want to share with you today. Just starting out, this is a word to the brethren, and if you're saved by the grace of God, you're in that family. We're brethren. We're family this morning. I'm glad God speaks to us, not as strangers, not even as guests, but as family. And that's the way it ought to be. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. If you're saved and we're in God's family this morning, we're brethren together. There's a lot of things that we could say about being brethren this morning, but this is a word to the brethren, and it's beseeching words. That's a word we don't use every day, but he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, and this is not a command. You know, God doesn't say, I'm commanding you, brethren, but I'm beseeching you, brethren. And if you look up that word, what it means to beg urgently or anxiously. It's interesting to me that God would ask anything out of us, let alone anxiously beseech or beg us to do anything. But that's the language here in the Bible. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Paul is beseeching, he's begging us that we would consider what we should do before a holy God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I came across this past month, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 6. I wrote a little devotional about it. And it says in verse number 6, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And that's interesting. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You say, I've got sin in my life. I've got iniquity in my life. I'm struggling. I want to get it out. I need to get it out of my life. You know how God gets sin out of our lives? By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. It's what the Word of God says. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Now, a lot of people think that God sets up in heaven with a great big stick or a whip. And if you step out of line, he just beats you over the head with it and knocks you down and chastens you. And you know, God does chasten his children. But most of the time, that's a last resort, not a first resort. I'm glad this morning that first of all, the way God deals with us is by mercy and truth. By mercy and truth. You know, I've been a parent now a long time, and especially with my older children, I think back as they were growing up and little children, you know, a lot of times I would cut them no slack. I was pretty rough on them sometimes. I wouldn't give them an inch, you know, obey or pay the consequences. And more than one time I dealt with my children and I corrected them, and the Holy Ghost of God come by and smote my heart and said, what if I treated you like that? What if I immediately judged your actions like you do? And so, you know, as you grow and as in parenting, you learn a whole lot of things about our Christian walk and everything. But here, God doesn't command us to present our bodies. God beseeches us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And it's hard for me to imagine God asking, anxiously beseeching, begging us to do anything. We're talking about God against whom we've sinned. We're talking about God under whose wrath we are justly condemned to die and to go to hell forever. We're talking about the God that saved us by His marvelous grace. We're talking about God who at one time before we were saved, we were enemies of Him, not in His family, not His friend, but an enemy of God. That's what the Bible teaches. That before we're saved, we're at enmity with God. And He could demand that we would do things, but God does not command us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He beseeches us as brethren. And then notice, this is what I want to preach on today. He beseeches us as brethren by the mercies of God. And this new year, this first Sunday in the new year, that's what I want to try to preach on just a little while, is just by the mercies of God. We are here today, and it's as well with us as it is by nothing else but by the mercies of God. The mercy of God is a good thing. Boy, I'm thankful today for the mercy of God in my life. The word mercy and mercies, what it means is to have compassion on or to have forbearance towards somebody. And like I was saying just a minute ago, to have patience with people and to give opportunity to have compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender or to one that is subject to one's power. God that today could do anything to us or with us that He wanted to, but I'll tell you, God's attitude towards us most of the time, first and foremost, more than we deserve, is to have mercy. We're here today by the mercy of God. That's the way this starts out, this wonderful passage of Scripture that's been used in many, many people's lives to get them on the right track for their life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, it is by something that He beseeches, not by the judgment of God, but by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? Because we're here by the mercy of God. Now I want to break this mercy of God down in today to a few different categories. First of all, I believe we could say the mercy of God, first of all, there's the universal mercy of God, meaning that everybody in the world is beneficiaries of this universal mercy of God. We look out here in the world today and we all benefit from the world, which, you know what, is not here by the result of a big bang, but is here by the result of God spoken into existence in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and He created the heavens and the earth to be a blessing and a place to live and a source of livability, if that's a word today, for humankind, a place for us to grow and to prosper and to live off of. God created the heavens and the earth. And He put in the heavens and the earth everything we need to live and to prosper. And you know what? It's still going on today, thousands of years later. In the earth we find things God has blessed us with by His mercy. There's food, there's water, there's fuel, there's trees, there's land, there's seed, there's sun, there's life, there's warmth, there's light. There's all these things that God has put upon the earth, and everybody benefits from them. You know, we were coming home last night, and a beautiful night, a clear evening. It was a half moon, bright moon out there. You know, God put the sun and the moon in the sky to govern the seasons and to keep things in order, and that's exactly what they do. The moon affects the growing seasons and the tide and everything else. And we was driving along, and I said, "Isn't that a beautiful moon? It's a half moon." I said, "That means that tonight, New Year's Eve," I said, "people just be half crazy." Because you know, they say when there's a full moon, I've had more than one person tell me, people in law enforcement, people in the hospital, nurses and doctors, they say, "You better watch out during a full moon. We get busy, people have accidents, fights, babies being born and everything." The moon has an effect upon us. You know what? God put it there, and it's a blessing. It's a universal blessing that God has given us. Matthew 5:45, the Bible says He sendeth His sun, His warmth, His rain. He causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust as well. The person out here that doesn't even believe in God, or that would say this morning, "Well, I don't know if I believe in God or not, or I don't like God today." There's a lot of people like that. You know what? They still are a beneficiary of the blessing, the universal mercy of God. God's a good God today. I heard the preacher preach last night, and I really enjoyed it. It was a blessing. And he brought out something I'd never thought of before. He said over there in the Bible where it says in the book of Psalms, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." He said a lost man ought to praise God. Everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. Lost people ought to praise God. Lost people can praise God. If you've got breath, you ought to thank God. If you've got any sense at all, you know there's a God in heaven that holds His very breath in your hand, that let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But He said, now worship, on the other hand, only saved people can worship. And God comes by to receive our worship when we come together on Sunday, Wednesday night. We ought to come together to worship Him and pray that God comes by and meets with us and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, because God's good. I went outside this morning for just a few minutes, I forget what for, but had to step outside and I heard the birds singing out there. You know, I believe the birds praise God. God's good. There's the universal mercies of God and the blessings of God. The Bible said in Psalms 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." God put it there. All those blessings that God has given unto us. Water and air, fresh air and all of these things, the universal mercies of God. We ought to thank Him for it. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Everywhere around us we see His mercy, we see His goodness. There's the universal mercies of God. There's the physical mercies of God. You know what? If we're here today, you know what? We have had the health to come and worship the Lord. We ought to thank Him for it. Good health is just the mercy of God. Enough health is the mercy of God. You know, I don't care how bad it is with anybody, you can always find somebody worse. You can always find somebody worse. And you can always find somebody that is in terrible shape, yet they will say, "Praise the Lord anyhow." That's amazing. That's a blessing. Just to have the health to come today, we ought to thank God for it. Ought I thank God? I was talking with Brother Dale just before the service started this morning. Not a one of us here today knows if by the time the week is out next week that it won't be us that is sick and found out something is terribly wrong with us. But you know what? We're here today by the mercy of God. He's blessed us and give us the health to do that. And we ought to give Him everything we've got because of His mercies. Good health, the health that we've got to come. And I know everybody's health is not perfect and everything like that, but God's given us the health to be here today. And it could be far worse. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe it couldn't be worse, just go to the nursing home, go to the hospital, go to the emergency room, go to the intensive care unit and visit and walk around and you'll see it could be worse, whatever. Whatever your situation is, it could always be worse, but God gives us health, and it's by His mercy, and God gives a sound mind by His mercy. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Just to be able to think straight. Just to be able to put thoughts together and to read and understand or to hear somebody talk and carry on a conversation. There's a lot of people in the world. They just can't do that. Old people, young people, I'm not putting it in that kind of category this morning, but I'm telling you, there's people out here in society, their mind's not right. It'll never be right. There's people, their brains is fried on drugs, or that they have they just are not physically capable to function like others and what we would say normally and everything like that. I'm telling you, just to have a sound mind, not to be afraid and all these things, it's the mercy of God. Could be us. God's given a sound mind. God's given us families to love and appreciate one another. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:22, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. We had 24-year anniversary this past week, and I say today, thank God for my wife, thank God for my children that He's given unto me. It's a blessing to have children. That's what the Bible says in Psalms 127:3. Happy is he that hath his quiver full of them. Now sometimes you might doubt that, but I'll tell you, I appreciate my family. I thank God for them. They're a great blessing to me. Went to church last night and we all went together and rode over there and rode back and everything. It was a long way and it's a late night and everything like that. But when we got home, I said, thank you, children, for going. That's a blessing. What God has given us is not something that we ought to take for granted today. We have our children, we have our families, we have one another, we have a church to go to, we have somewhere to come and fellowship and worship the Lord together. That's by the mercy of God. If you come here today, you probably came in a car or a truck. I don't think anybody had to walk, and you know, our lives are so much easier than the way that it used to be. Get in a car and turn the heater on. You know, I went to one vehicle today and had a flat tire, and you know, I didn't have to jump under there and fix it right away. I just went and started the other one and came on to church. Boy, that's a blessing. God's good to us. God's blessed us in many ways to have a place to live and running water and plumbing and electricity and lights and heat and a stove and a washing machine and a dryer and a dishwasher and all these things. Boy, I tell you, we ought to just praise Him and thank Him for all that He's done for us. God's good. Physical blessings that we have, the Bible says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. What we have is given unto us by the gift of God and His mercy towards His children upon this earth. There's the universal mercies that everybody on the earth benefits from. There's the physical mercies that God has given unto us that everybody benefits from. There's the spiritual mercies that we have just to be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what, this morning, you ought to thank God right there that we're saved by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. Can you imagine today, what if you and I had to work our way to heaven? What if we had to be good enough to obtain God-likeness in our lives? You know what? We'd say to each other, how's that salvation working out? Not too good. Because if you've sinned one time, you miss the mark and you'll never be perfect. And you know what? Every one of us here today, we had already sinned before we ever even knew what sin was. We're in a mess. We cannot save ourselves. We can't be good enough. We cannot help God in our salvation. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. How's a tainted, sinful human being going to help God do anything? God had to do it all for us. That's why God had to come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why He had to come as a man. Why He had to die upon the cross. Why He had to shed His blood for our sins. Because we couldn't save ourselves, and we're only saved by the mercy of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're justified not by our works. We couldn't do it. We're justified the same way Abraham was. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God put righteousness on his account. Not on his account in him being Abraham, but on his account because of God's righteousness. God could do that for him. God can do that for you and I today. Not on the account that I'm a preacher. Not on the account that you're a good person and never killed nobody. But on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can put righteousness on your account. Because He's our Savior. And it's by the mercy of God. We're undeserving. We don't deserve any of these things. But God can save us. God can justify us. God adopts us into His family. We were alienated and strangers from God. The Bible said in James 1 and 12, it said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Well, that's a blessing. To be able to become a child of God, a joint heir together with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to stand and testify today, I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a daughter of God. When I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I've got a better family, a better place. It's a mercy of God. It's not because of anything that we've ever done. You could have never been good enough. You could have never paid enough. If you lived a million years, you'd only get farther in debt. You'd only get farther away from God. But God in His mercy saves us, justifies us, adopts us into His family, puts us under the grace of God, not under the law where we're condemned. Under the law, we learn that we're a sinner and we cannot save ourselves. But under grace, God does for us marvelous, marvelous things. He not only saves us and justifies us and gives us peace with God. Under grace, He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I mean, maybe we might think about it this morning like, well, God, He is so holy and so righteous. What if He saved us and just allowed us to come into heaven but still stayed separate because He's holy? But He was good enough to let us go to heaven. You know what? That's not what God has done. God in His grace and in His mercy toward us, He saved us, justified us, gave us peace with God, gives us a home in heaven. And under grace He says, you don't even have to stay over there. You can come right into the throne room now. That's the grace of God. Come as a child. Come as my child to the throne of grace. And God says, I'll help you in a time of need. There's the spiritual mercies. There's eternal life that God gives unto us. The Bible said in John chapter 10 and verse 28 and 29, God said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. If you could lose your salvation, you would. I'd have already lost mine. I'd have lost mine over and over and over. We was talking in Sunday school about the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. If God didn't give us eternal life, we'd all have it and lose it and never get it back. The Bible teaches in the book of Hebrews, if you could lose your salvation, then there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus died once upon the cross to save us from our sins. And when we're saved, He gives us the gift of eternal life. Makes us His children forever. And that's not saying. And this crowd that says, oh, that means you can be saved and go out here and live any old way and do any old thing. No, there's no such thing as that in the Word of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're not going to want to go out here and live any old way and do any old thing. And if you do and that don't bother you, I submit unto you today, I doubt if you've ever been saved. Well, I won't live for Him. Why, preacher? By the mercies of God. Everything He's done for us, everything He's given unto us. Colossians 1 and 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, we're redeemed. By His blood, we have eternal glory ahead of us and awaiting for the children of God. When we get to heaven, I really believe with all my heart, you know how it is now, we say to ourselves, where's time go? Where's time go? The Bible says that our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time. We are here for such a little short period of time. We're going to be forever with Him. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't want us to waste our lives and throw our lives away, and our lives never count for nothing for God and His glory. So He beseeches us by the mercies of God. I wouldn't trade what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ for everything in the world. I wouldn't trade places with Donald Trump or Bill Gates or any of the rest of these multimillionaires. I wouldn't want to be the president of this country. I wouldn't want to be the leader of another country. I'll just take what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I've got this world and the world to come. I'm rich and it's tax-free. Amen. That's a blessing. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's universal mercies and physical mercies and there's spiritual mercies, but there's special mercies in our lives. God is, and I'm not boastful in saying this. I hope you don't take it that way, but you know, I feel like God's been better to me. I feel like God's been better to us and other people in the world. Not that we're special. Not that there's something different about us. Not that we're more deserving than anybody else. But what I'm saying today, I'm thankful to have been born in America. That's just the mercy of God. I don't know how all that figures into God's grand plan. Everybody couldn't be born in America, but you know what? I was, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful to be born in this country. I'm thankful for Christianity in this country. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have. I'm thankful for the blessings of God. I'm thankful for being born in the Bible Belt and raised in church, and that's all I've known all my life. Hey, special blessings in my life. I don't know why. I could have been born in Iran. I could have been born in Iraq. I could not know God or anything about God. I could wake up this morning on the other side of the world and think that I should die for holy jihad and strap a bomb to my body and go into a crowded marketplace and in Israel or somewhere like that and blow that bomb up and be thinking in my mind that I'm doing something that Allah is pleased with, and there'll be paradise and 72 virgins waiting on me. And I'll tell you what, them people don't realize one second after that goes off and they wake up in hell. And never knew the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand all that, but I'll tell you, it ought to humble us. It ought to place some responsibility upon our hearts and our minds that, boy, God's been good to us. To have truth, have the truth of the Word of God, be able to understand it. I'm not trusting in Mary today. I'm not trusting in the Pope today. I'm not trusting in being part of 144,000 that, hey, if the Jehovah's Witnesses is right on that, you know what? That number's filled up a long time ago. So many that are confused and lost and religious and going through and trying to work their way to heaven. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Well, that's a sad testimony, isn't it? There's a lot of people trying to work their way to heaven today. They don't know God. They've never been born again. They don't have a personal relationship with Him. All they are is religious and going through the motions, and they'll die and go to hell. And they'll spend years and years in hell wondering why they're there. I believe that. And then one day they'll stand before God and say, didn't we do all these things? That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus says. They said, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do many wonderful works? And then for the first time, they'll hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, I never knew you. Sad shape to be in. Boy, I tell you, if you're here today and saved by the grace of God, you ought to thank Him. You ought to praise Him. He's worthy of our lives. He's worthy of all of our lives, like Potiphar and Joseph over there in the Old Testament. We ought to be willing to give all that we have into His hand and leave it there. Let Him take us and use us. In light of God's abundant mercy today, how could we even think about it or have to decide in our lives or come to the place of making that decision in our lives? But you know what? It is not automatic in our lives that we automatically do that. There's a lot of people, they're saved, but they've never come to that place. Yes, they're saved. When they die, they're going to go to heaven, but they've never done what Paul said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus said in John 10:10, He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. If you just sat around and thought about it a while today and thought about all the good things in your life, all the mercy of God, all the abundance in your life, how can we help not to give Him everything about us? I really put a lot of thought and prayer into what the Lord had had me to preach on today. And I thought, you know, a new year starting out, what would be the thing? Lord, what would be the one thing if we could get started off on the right foot? And, you know, should I preach on prayer? That'll surely help you. Should I preach on having devotions and reading your Bible every day? That'll help you. Lord, what do you want me to preach on? And I kept coming back to that right there. You know, if we'd do that right there, take care of the rest of all these other things. If we'd just come at the outset of this new year and say, God, I don't know what the new year has in store, but I just want to give my all on the altar today. God, you've been good to me while I waited around and walked the fence and couldn't decide to get in or get out and played church and all these things in my life. God's been good. God could at any time come down, we might say, with the hammer on any of us. Probably should have. Should have me. I'll tell you, I failed God. Why doesn't God do that? Because God's merciful. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. God's mercy is good this morning. And it ought to cause us to want to just give our lives to Him. Put our all on the altar of sacrifice laid, as the old song says over there, and do what Paul said. If you don't have anything underlined in this verse, I want to encourage you, underline, by the mercies of God. Think about that. I Like I said, I don't know, we might go farther, but I'll read that one more time. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You see how he's saying that? This is his reason for the great thing that he asks. Then he says, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, people say, I'd die for him. He don't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. Wants you to live for him. If you weren't here on Wednesday night, I said something about a man named R.G. Letourneau, and he's a Christian businessman, and he said in the first paragraph of his book, he says a Christian businessman owes as much to God as a preacher does. He doesn't say, I beseech you therefore, preachers, by the mercies of God. He didn't say, I beseech you, therefore, Sunday school teachers or deacons by the mercy of God. He said, brethren. That's us this morning. That's all of us. It's not just for missionaries. It's not just for people that are considered fanatical about the things of God. It's for all of us in light of what God's done for us. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'll stop right there this morning. I'm done. I'll share one little story with you. Years ago, I read a book by Charles Finney. And in that book, he gives an illustration. I've never forgot it, and I'm sure I've shared it with you before. But he talks over there about that reasonable service. And he gives the illustration, and he says, if a rich man paid off a poor man's debt, and that poor man would never, ever be able to live long enough, make enough money to pay that rich man back. The rich man just paid his debt off and said, it's paid. That poor man could never make enough to make it back, to pay it back. All he could justly do is come to that rich man and say, I could never pay you back for what you've done, but I want to live for you. I want to serve you with what I've got. And that's just reasonable, because Jesus paid off a debt for us that you and I could have never paid. And it's just reasonable service that we'd come and give our lives back to him. And that's what the Word of God asks of us. That's what the Word of God presents to us today. That we'd present our bodies a living sacrifice and live for God. Where we are, what we are, with what we have, to live for God, give our lives to him. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.